Open your Bibles, please, to this morning to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. That's where we're going to begin after we pray. And let me say this real quick. In the book of Jude, the Apostle Jude made this comment. He said that Satan is like a spot at your love feast. A spot at your love feast. He was talking to the church back then, and he said, beware these people that come in, and they're trying to bring you, drag you back under the law, the legalism of Judaism, and they're trying to pull you out of grace, pull you out of the goodness of God, pull you out of the new covenant, and back under the old covenant, under bondage. He said, these people are driven by spirits of darkness, and he described them like this, they are spots at your love feasts. You know what it tells me? That very phrase? The devil shows up when we're having a good time. The devil always wants to spoil a good time. In the natural or the spiritual for God's kids. And we got the holidays coming up. You know, years ago, Terry and I realized that there was a consistent pattern happening almost every year around Thanksgiving. Rachel would get sick, or Terry would get a cold, or I'd get a cold. And you know what? Finally, one day we realized, hey, this is happening too often. It's happening consistently every year around the holidays. And so we started a slogan around our house that we started confessing every year, and we started pushing back this trend in our home, and that was this, healthy for the holidays. We just declared that over the Anderson home. We said, we will be healthy for the holidays. And we started making that our stance. We took our stand. I'm telling you, saints, it works. Amen. So I want to encourage you right now, wherever you're at, we got Thanksgiving coming up this week. Declare it. Speak it over your house. We will be healthy for this holiday. We will enjoy good health. We're going to have a great time as a family of God. And we're not going to let any spirit of darkness or spirit of infirmity come in and spoil the great time the Lord has for us. So I want to encourage you in that. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. You know, I've been on a series or started a series a couple weeks ago about renewing the mind. And we're going to continue with that next week. We're not going to lose our place. But I do like when there's a holiday at hand, such as this week. I do like to acknowledge it. I like to share from the Word of God something that relates to the day. Because I think this is huge, as I said earlier. I think it's great that our country takes a national holiday. Isn't that awesome? That we live in a God-fearing country still that says we're going to cancel work, we're going to cancel everything, and take a day to give thanks. Well, I want to share with you a little bit about Thanksgiving today. And you know, the initial mission, well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for opening our ears, opening our spiritual eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. Open us now. Open our hearts now, Lord, and quicken us. We just thank you that every distraction is bound in Jesus' name. Lord, every hindrance, every burden we just cast off, that we may hear the living and enduring word of God, and it may bear fruit in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, the original mission of the pilgrims when they came over here from Europe, here's part of their mission statement. It said this, we're going for the glory of God and the advancement of the faith in Jesus Christ. The glory of God. Now, no matter what secular history tells you, and I'm sure there were some men that came over for commercial purposes only, of course, that happened too. But you know, the heart of our country, what really became the fiber of America, was a people that said, we're leaving Europe, we're going to a wild country that we know very little about, and we're going to go there for the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. What a noble cause. Amen. And I don't care what the world says, Lee, that was their original intent. That is history, and it's proven. So, in the process of the pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower, they say nearly half of them died that first year that they were here, either on their way over across the ocean in disease, and they were in a really tiny boat about the size of from this wall to that wall, not much bigger than about this room in terms of length. It was a very small ship, the Mayflower. It wasn't that big. There's over 100 people on it, a lot of kids, and about half of the pilgrims died in that first year, as I said earlier, because of the arriving in December up in the Northeast. I mean, boom, you know, no food, starvation, disease, sickness. And yet when they finally did, a year later or so, they celebrated their first harvest. They started giving thanks. And then their governor, I want to read this proclamation. I pulled this right off the internet. It's not original. I didn't write it. But Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made this first Thanksgiving proclamation. And by the way, the Thanksgiving that they celebrated, at least the initial one that I'm reading about here on the internet, was actually a 3-day celebration. All right, so we're kind of cutting it back to just do one day. So don't feel like you're doing too much to take a day of your life and saying I'm going to be thankful. These guys celebrated for 3 days initially, and Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made this first proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. Quote, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams." Isn't it poetic how they talked back then? I love it. It's almost like the King James Bible. "And inasmuch as he has protected us." Now notice what he's doing. He's acknowledging God in all these things. The squash, the peas, the whatever. He's acknowledging God. Listen, saints. There's no little thing, no little blessing in your life that's too small or insignificant to be overlooked for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's not just about the big things. We give thanks for the little stuff. Amen. Or we should. And I love that in their acknowledgement, they talked about the sea filled with fish, clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages. I love that. Ravages of the savages. Even rhymes. Has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that ye, all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house, he uses a lot of ye's there, and on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor, I like that part, and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings, William Bradford, ye governor, of course he'd say ye one more time, of ye colony. Love it. Isn't that great? He said, listen to your pastor. So I like this guy. But he was thankful. He said, for the peas, the squash, the birds, the all the game, the food. For food. Easy to overlook the basics, the simple stuff. But he acknowledged him. You know, it's funny. I brought a current event, too. I want to share this with you. This is funny. This is just a little humor to kind of start our message today. Here's the title of the message, or the current event from the news. Trump suggests UCLA basketball players released from China owe him thanks. Did you hear about this? Some of you, yes. You're shaking your heads, no. Some of you. President Trump suggested Wednesday that three UCLA players accused of shoplifting in China owed him public thanks after their release from confinement and return home. Do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you, President Trump? They were headed for 10 years in jail, he said, or he tweeted. He didn't just say, he tweeted, of course, early Wednesday hours after he returned from a 12-day trip in Asia. Trump said Tuesday that he had spoken to Chinese President Xi Jinping about the three athletes who were taken into custody while in Hangzhou for a game against Georgia Tech. Now, first thing I find quite weird about this story is our guys are in Hangzhou playing basketball. Okay? And secondly, they had the nerve to shoplift in China.
They didn't stand out.
Oh, man. Yeah, they didn't stand out. I'm telling you, man. There's one place in the world I'm not going to break the law. It's in China. I don't want to go to a Chinese prison for nothing. But I love it. It just kind of goes along with the Thanksgiving message. You know, the president's like, do you think they're going to come back and tell me thanks? I think not. But, you know, it's important. When grace is given, the expected result is thanksgiving, right? And when God gives us his blessings, he expects thanksgiving, rightfully so. Of course, he doesn't get horsey about it. He doesn't tweet out, they didn't thank me. You know, he doesn't tweet that out from heaven's phone line. But he does look for the thankful heart, for the thankful response. Anytime blessing is given, the result or the expected result should be thanksgiving. And we read here in Colossians chapter 2. You're there, right? Colossians 2 verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. This is a powerful verse. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. I want to call you all to be overflowing with thankfulness this week. I implore you, I provoke you, I stir you, I rouse you toward this mindset that says I'm going to be overflowing with thankfulness. Here's a little side note about the Bible. I'm talking about the written Bible. Of all the pieces of armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, the written Word of God is the one piece of armor we can see in the physical realm. Everything else is unseen. The shield of faith, you can't see faith. You can see the effects of faith. The shoes of peace, you don't see peace. But the belt, the loin belt of truth,
amen,
is what? The written Word of God. The written Word of God is the loin belt of truth. It's the most important piece of armor. That's why Paul starts with the loin belt. Isn't that funny that he would start with a belt? If you were looking at me today and you say, well, look at what Scott's wearing. If I was describing my outfit, I wouldn't describe by start. Or if you were describing something, if someone said, what did Pastor Scott wear today? You wouldn't just start by describing my belt. I'm not wearing one, by the way, because when I wear a sweater vest, it shows the buckle through real big. It's a little aside. But you don't start with my belt in your description. Okay, right? You usually say, well, you had a blue shirt, gray slacks. You don't talk about my shoes or my belt. Not first off, usually. But Paul says this. He says the loin belt. He starts with the loin belt. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Stand with your loins girt about with truth. And this is a little commercial for 2018 for where Terry and I are heading in the churches, and that is this: we are really going to promote the Word of God this year in 2018. Amen. Really, really provoke you to get in the book. This is the loin belt of truth. When you put this loin belt of truth in your life, all these other pieces of armor come into place. The breastplate of righteousness will be there because you've spent time in the Word. The shoes, the effect of the gospel of peace will be there. You can walk in your life in peace. You can walk peacefully because the Word of God is sound and is resounding in your heart day after day as you spend time in the Logos, the written Word of God, the loin belt of truth. That's just a little aside. Okay, that's a freebie. But Paul says here that we should be overflowing with thankfulness. I like this idea of excess, you know, to where people would go almost go, Debbie, she's almost too thankful. You know what I mean? I mean, I told her something the other day and she sent me a thank you card. She's just so blooming thankful. You know, that's overflowing in thankfulness. We're talking about excess, folks. Letting thankfulness just be such a natural response. It's like, you know, someone just, you know, you ever been shocked by something and just, it just comes out of you, right? You know, just And thankfulness should just be a natural response from us all the time, all the time, all the time. Every little thing. I came in this morning. My normal buddy here, Chris, wasn't available to help me set up, but Alan lent me a hand. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for Alan's help this morning, getting my stuff set up. Amen. You know, it's just every little thing. Listen, a blessing's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
You know, life has some landmarks along the way. We do have some of those biggies. You know, in such and such year, somebody gave me a new car or whatever. I mean, that's a biggie, right? But, you know, all life is not just made up of the biggies. It's made up of all the little things along the way. And God is looking for a heart, and we should be cultivating. Listen, a heart that's rich, a heart that's rooted in Christ Jesus, a heart that, as this verse says, let's back up just a little bit. It says, strengthened, the middle part of verse 7, strengthened in the faith. How do you be strong in faith? You overflow with thanksgiving. You're overflowing with thanksgiving. It nurtures your faith. It nurtures your belief in God did this for me, so I know He'll do that for me. Listen, if you're always giving thanks for little things, you'll have the faith strong, so when that big thing comes in your life, it'll be like nothing. That's why David could stand up so easily against Goliath. Look, I fought the lion, I fought the bear. This giant will be nothing to me. Right? He was thankful for what God had done along the way. Interestingly enough, the word thankfulness, in the Greek, it's the same word that we derive the word Eucharist from. Eucharist. How many of you have a Catholic background? Anybody here have a Catholic background? You know what the Eucharist is, right? It's communion. We don't call it that in the Protestant churches. We just say the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table. But in the Catholic Church, they refer to the Holy Eucharist. What are they saying? They're saying that when we take communion, we're giving thanks. That's what that word thankfulness in the King James means. It comes from that Greek word, the Eucharist comes from the same Greek word as thankfulness in that word thankfulness in Colossians 2:7. Eucharist. In other words, when we take communion, we're saying, Lord, thank you for giving your body. Thank you for giving your lifeblood. It's an expression of thankfulness even in the ritual. Amen? In the symbolism as we take the Lord's Supper. So Eucharist, that's where that word thankfulness is tied into. Look over in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. I don't know how many of you ladies have turkeys in the oven today or something in the oven that you're cooking, but I just figured I've got a pretty short message here today, but it's like a plate of spaghetti. It just grows. I just start to speak, and there's more noodles on the plate than when I started. I don't know how this happens. Luke 17, verse 11. I'm going to give you an example of some people in the Bible who were and were not thankful. Luke 17, 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now why is that significant? That is an act of faith. Because under the Old Testament, when you had leprosy, if you got to a point that for some reason the disease had subsided or had ceased in your body, you would go to the priest to confirm you're no longer contagious. Amen. So when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest from a distance, he yells this back at him. He's telling him, go as if you had been healed. Go show him, go appear before the priest as if this is a reality now, that you're already cleansed from your leprosy. Amen. And notice what it says. And as they went, those are steps of faith. As they went, what happened? They were cleansed. They were made clean. But one of them, oh, don't you love this? Verse 15. This is a Thanksgiving verse if there ever was one. Luke 17:15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and what? Thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now that's significant too, because the Samaritans were considered the unclean. These were like mixed breed Jews. These were not pure Jews. And that was like looked down upon. It was frowned upon. And so Jesus used, it wasn't actually a story. It was a real life thing. That oddly enough, the Samaritan was the one that came back and thanked Jesus. And look at verse 17. Were not all 10 cleansed? Jesus asked. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Amen. And I want to propose to you today, I don't know that it doesn't say this in Scripture, but in my estimation, this could have happened. The lepers were cleansed on the way to the priest. They were healed. But those that were missing fingers, those that had lost things in the process of the leprosy's ravaging of their bodies, even though the disease was cleansed and at that moment their skin appeared whole from the disease, it's possible that only this one who came back was restored. In other words, if there was a finger missing, his finger was restored. Jesus said, go and you are made whole. That's just it's a theory of mine, but I believe it possible that this man, because he returned and gave thanks, he received a secondary blessing. Amen. Not that he earned it, but by his coming back to the source of his blessing, he opened his life up for even greater blessing, and that was the restoration of his body fully to normalcy. Can you say hallelujah?
Amen.
It's glorious to think of, isn't it? Let me make a note of this. Blessings abound everywhere around us, but thankfulness is rare. I'm sorry to say among humanity, that's the case. Blessings abound all around us, each of us, every day, every moment of every day, but thankfulness is a rare gem. And we see that in this story. I started to call it a parable a moment ago. It's not a parable, it's an actual story. It actually really happened. And it shows, again, the tendency of humanity. Yes, I received the blessing, but do I return to give thanks to the source of my blessing? I want to provoke you to be a grateful people, to be a thankful people, to be alert, to have a heart that's nurturing faith all the time by developing and overflowing and being excessive in thankfulness. In thankfulness. And that's what this Samaritan was. He came back to Jesus and gave him thanks. At the beginning of this year, goodness, I can't believe we're almost to the end. It kind of feels like 2017 has been 3 years long. I don't know about you, but it seems like a very long year. But also, here we are in November. Can you believe it? And at the beginning of this year, the Holy Ghost gave us a message, a word for the congregation. It was just, it dropped in my spirit. You know, sometimes, listen, when God calls you to a ministry, it comes easy. When the anointing is there, it's just easy. I don't strive to get a word from God. I mean, I seek Him, but you know, because He's anointed me, He's called me to pastor here, He just gives me things, and I'm thankful. It's pastoring is not hard when I'm leaning on Him and I'm resting in Him. And the Lord just dropped it in my spirit at the beginning of the year. How much more? How much more? You know, there are verses in Romans that talk about if da 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 da, how much more? You know, the grace of Jesus will superabound. How much more? And in God, listen, that's our promise. And that's to our congregation this year. This is a word for your life. How much more? And I got my alarm set twice a day. My phone goes off. And it reminds me to say that as a confession of faith. How much more? And it urges me to press in. Listen, I might be this righteous, but there's a whole lot more righteous to be had. Or holiness, I should say. And I'm pressing in for much more holiness in my life, much more faithfulness in my life, much more truth in my life, much more peace in my life. There's always more to be had in the kingdom, saints. Can you say amen? Listen, we haven't scratched the surface, but we're moving, and we're moving. And as we steer our ship with the Word of God, what do? We say daily, how much more? How much more? Psalm chapter 50. Look at this verse together with me. Psalm chapter 50, Verse 23. This is why I'm talking about how much more. This is what thankfulness will do for you. Psalm 50, verse 23. Back in the 70s when I was a kid, my mom got saved, born again, and my dad as well, and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And during that time, there was a lot of word songs. Remember word songs? And there was a word song back then. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. It was like right out of the King James. A lot of people wrote choruses back then that were right out of the Bible. Word songs. Okay? And this was one of the word songs that was written back then in Psalm 50, verse 23. Let's read it together. He who sacrifices thank offerings, I'm reading from the New International Version. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. And I love that rendering in the New International. I also love the King James because, like I said, as a kid, that's what I grew up on. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God, right? Those of you that are looking at King James. So you can't forget a song. That's why it's wonderful when we set the Bible to music, because it helps us memorize it. So in the New International Version, it says, he prepares the way. Whosoever offers thanks, he honors God, and he prepares the way for more. I want to put it to you that way. For more. Let me read it to you from the Passion Translation. How many of you have heard of the Passion Translation? Only one person's heard of the Passion. This is a new translation that's out. It's wonderful. It's so far up until now, it's only been available in Psalms. And it's now been made available recently, just recently in the New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and the Song of Solomon. So we've got a book on order. Terry and I both are going to dive into the Passion Translation that's now available. But we'll get some of these for our bookstore. If you like to read Psalms, this is the Psalms version in the Passion Translation. It reads it this way. This is Psalm 50, verse 23. The life that pleases me is a life lived in the gratitude of grace, always choosing to walk with me in what is right. This is the sacrifice I desire from you. If you do this, listen to this, more of my salvation will unfold for you. I love that. Let me read it again. The life that pleases me, this is God speaking, is a life lived in the gratitude or thankfulness of grace. In other words, you're always recognizing God's grace and you're always thankful for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You gave me a good parking space. Thank you. I didn't have to wait in line over here. Look, another register open. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, get in the habit of saying, praise the Lord. That's a good thing to say. What are you doing? You're cultivating thankfulness. And God says here, always choosing to walk with me in what is right. This is the sacrifice I desire from you. If you do this, more of my salvation will unfold for you. So I want to propose to you as we're winding down 2017, we started it with this phrase, how much more? I want to propose to you as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday that as you cultivate thankfulness and as you express it to God, you are making way. I like the New International Version, the way it says it again. He prepares the way so that I may show him, and then from the Passion Translation, more of my salvation. Amen? As you cultivate a thankful heart, and not just doing it in the flesh, but just recognize this is our calling in Christ Jesus, to be thankful, thankful, thankful people. And we do it as a heart unto God because we see His grace. And as we do it, as we offer that kind of praise to God continually, we are making way. It's like lighting a runway. Amen. For more. It's like we're saying, here it is, God, here's the landing zone, boom, boom, boom. We're setting the candles out or the torches, the flashlights, whatever it takes. My thankfulness is lighting an airstrip. What? For the next cargo plane from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. As you're thankful, you're preparing the way for more of God's salvation to your life, saints. That's a good promise for you today. It lights the landing strip. I said, you know, late last night, I said, Lord, show me an example of this. I want to know another example from the Bible so that they don't think I'm just making this up from my own thoughts from Psalm 50, verse 23. And immediately, I mean that quickly, just the loaves and fishes. What did Jesus do? Well, let's read about it. I'm glad you asked. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 15. This is just one example. We know that Jesus fed 4,000 on one occasion, 5,000 on another. Here's one example. And look what he did in Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus answered, "They don't have to go away. I'm not sending them to McDonald's. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Let's pause here. I want to tell you something. Do you know why Jesus was sleeping in the boat when they were in the storm? You know what he was thinking at that moment? I believe Jesus was having a dream. I believe that's why they had such a hard time waking him up. The boat was rocking, storms, the wind and waves pounding, boats being filled with water up top, disciples come down underneath, and they say, "Master, don't you care for us?" And he's just asleep on a pillow, curled up in a fetal position at the back of the boat. And what's Jesus thinking? What's he dreaming about? How could he have such a deep sleep? I believe Jesus was dreaming, seeing the day that his disciples would actually do what he'd been teaching them for 3 years doing. You know what a disciple is? It's one who's being trained to do something. In today's modern lingo, we don't use the word disciple a whole lot, except when we're talking about religion. But we do talk about apprentices. An apprentice is somebody who's learning from the master how to do something. And then one day they rise and they develop their craft themselves and they become a master.
Amen.
And Jesus is in the boat and he's dreaming. And I believe he sees Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. He's rocking back and forth. And I believe he sees John on the island of Patmos, boiled in oil, still holding his faith firm, not denying the faith, holding his confession of faith, even though he's boiled in oil and he lives through it. And he's exiled in the Isle of Patmos. Jesus is saying, "Yes, yes." He's having a great dream. You ever had a great dream? And when someone wake you up, you're mad at him?
Yeah.
"That was a great dream. You woke me up in the middle of a really good one." I believe Jesus was having a really good dream about his disciples rising. And that's why he got up out in the midst of the storm and said, "Why are you so fearful?" He was dreaming, I believe, about them rising up and commanding the storm themselves. Well, that's a little aside, but let's read on. That's why Jesus said what he said here too, I believe. They don't need to go away, verse 16. You give them something to eat. In other words, he said, "I've been teaching you about the miracle power of God for years. Now you do something. You do the miracle in my name, in my authority." "We have only here 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. They answered, "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to where?
Heaven,
the source of all blessing. He did what? He gave thanks. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So probably, possibly 10,000 people or more. Half of Alvin, third of Alvin. 8 at the command of Jesus. He looked up to heaven. He broke the... First of all, he had the people sit down, right? It says he commanded... Yeah, he said, "People sit down." Listen, you don't tell people to sit down like you're going to feed them. You better, especially you got 10,000 people. "Everybody have a seat." They're looking around going, "What? Oh, we're going to eat?" You don't tell a crowd of 10,000 you're about to serve them a meal like that by having them sit down unless you plan to serve it up, because you might have a riot on your hands. And Jesus looks up to heaven and he gives thanks and he breaks it and God multiplies it. So he took what he had, what little he had, gave thanks, and boom, he made way. He laid out a landing strip for the multiplied power of God to feed thousands and thousands and thousands. But how did he start? By giving thanks.
Yes.
By giving thanks. Thanksgiving opens the way for the miracle power of God. It's not a trite thing, saints. It's very important. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Not just a holiday for watching football. That's part of it, but it's important in the kingdom. Thanksgiving's a real big part of what we do. In verse 19, when it says, He blessed. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, look up to heaven, he gave thanks. In the King James, it says he blessed and gave them to his disciples. That word blessed actually comes from the Greek. It means, it's the idea of eulogy. Eulogeo is the word there. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. E-U means good. The last part of it, logeo or logos, means the word. Jesus spoke a good word over the loaves and the fishes. Let me say this. A lot of times something happens in our life and we're tempted to go, "Yeah, but the glass is half empty." And so we curse what's there, what's been put in our hand. And God says, and it says Jesus, he spoke a eulogy. This is where we get the idea of a eulogy. What is a eulogy? When someone dies, we speak a good word over them, right? Or we're supposed to, always. Listen, everybody's a saint at their own funeral. Have you noticed that? I've never been to a funeral where someone said that, brought up the trash about someone's life. And that's the way it should be. A eulogy is a good word that we speak over someone's life. And Jesus spoke a good word over 5 loaves and 2 fish. He would say, this ain't near enough. Come on, guys, where's the truckload? No, he spoke a good word. He gave thanks to the Father for what he had in his hand. It was a good word. Let me tell you something, saints. The glass is half full. Did you hear me? It's not half empty. Years ago, Terry and I went to lunch with a couple. They wanted to take us to lunch. And we were still struggling quite a bit. I mean, this is many years ago. Financially, we were scratching, clawing, climbing out of the hole. And they gave us a gift. It was about $100. They said, you know, we believe the Lord wants us to sow this in your life for debt cancellation. I was saying, brother, if you knew my debts, this ain't nearly enough for debt cancellation. But it was a seed, and they sowed it as faith. You see, a seed is always resting on faith. Amen. In the kingdom of God. A seed is always much smaller than the need. Have you ever noticed that? A seed is much more minuscule than the need. And at the time, my natural mind, I'm telling you, was like, well, this ain't going to quite cut it. But in the spirit, I knew that they had done it in faith, and I knew that they were doing this at the prompting of the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, it's a seed of power. And I'm telling you, boy, over time, it worked. I mean, we started, and it jump-started. It did something in the spirit, Brother Ross. It jump-started us toward that life of debt-freeness. But at the time, it looked like a small seed. And I was tempted, like I said, in my mind to go, this ain't enough. You know, I wasn't speaking a eulogy. I was speaking the other thing over that seed. But God calls us to speak a good word over what he puts in our hand. The glass is half full, not half empty. It's all how you see it. The seed is quite big enough. I told you, I've shared with you before that many times in commission sales, not many times, praise the Lord, not in recent years, but sometimes I've had some months where the check was real thin, like less than we needed for our basic bills, because it's commission only in my field. It's just, you sell, you eat. You don't sell, you don't eat. Or you cry out to God harder, okay? But there's been times when the check was real skinny. And before I even, you know, had an opportunity to doubt, I'd text Terry or call Terry and say, here's my check for this month. It's more than enough. What was I doing? I was speaking a good word. Amen. A eulogy. Amen. Over that tiny seed that looked like it was way less than enough for my life. That's a eulogy. That's a good word. Let me give you a couple other quick examples about how we can give thanks. Tithing is a form of giving thanks. Amen. What does tithing do? Tithing says, God, you gave me this, I respond with this. A Sabbath day is a way of giving thanks. A Sabbath day says, you know, even what we were going to do Thursday. Sometimes it takes, let me say it this way, let me back up a little bit. It takes faith to tithe. Because many times you feel like, man, this 100% isn't going to meet the need, let alone 90% if I give 10% of it away to the Lord. But it takes faith to be grateful in tithing. Let me say that stronger. It takes faith to express the tithe to the Lord in gratitude, especially when the 90% or the 100% before you thought about tithing is going to be far less than what you need for your bills anyways. It takes faith to be grateful in expressing the tithe to Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say. It takes faith to express a day of rest, even what we're about to do Thursday. Sometimes, you ever felt this frustration like Thursday? Like, oh man, I still got this and this to do around the house. And they, people expect me to sit down and eat with my relatives and do this and, you know, watch football. There's an expectation Thursday of certain things we're going to do as a celebration of the holiday. Let me tell you, saints, rest.
Amen.
Rest on Thursday.
Amen.
In your heart, I'm talking about rest. Now, if the wife needs help in the kitchen, help her. Do what needs to be done. But rest in your heart. It takes faith to take a day and say, we're going to express gratefulness to God. And sometimes you look back and you go, man, I had all these goals I was going to do in 2017. Anybody there? And you go, I haven't even hit one of them yet, or two of them. And you go, how can I stop and have a day of thanksgiving? I feel almost hypocritical. No, just do it by faith.
Amen.
Sometimes thanksgiving takes faith. It takes faith. It requires faith to give thanks as a response. And we say, Lord, I don't feel like it's enough. You know, I don't feel like I've done enough. I don't feel like the seed is big enough. I don't feel like whatever. It's okay. Do like Jesus did. Speak a good word over it and be grateful. Be thankful on Thursday. I encourage you. Be thankful. Take a day. They took 3 days in the original Thanksgiving celebration with the pilgrims. Let's take a day and give thanks to God. So let me just wrap this up with a few bullet points. Speak the good that you do have now. Faith, a thankful heart declares the goodness you do have. Well, I needed $1,000, but I got 100. I got a seed. I got the first step toward 1,000. That's thankfulness. The glass is half full. We're getting there. Faith and thanksgiving prepare the way for more. Again, our motto for 2017, how much more? And when you step into a life and a habit and a routine and a mindset, listen, saints, this is a deliberate shift because our mind as humans, our old Adamic nature is to always look at what we don't have and be ungrateful. It takes faith to speak a positive word and say, I have this. I'm thankful for it. And as you do, it prepares the way for more and more miracle power of God. Psalm 50, 23. Remember that verse this week. He who offers thanks prepares the way so that I may show him much more of my salvation. You're laying out the landing strip for God's cargo planes to bring more. Listen, that was just the first load. Whatever came into your hand, and just like this man who was healed of leprosy, what did he do? He came back to Jesus, and I believe he got more. I believe he got more. As he gave thanks to Jesus, I believe he got more. Now, I want us to end real quickly here. Why don't you stand together with me? I want us to just take a moment in corporate prayer. This is our Thanksgiving week. This is our Thanksgiving service. I'm going to open up the floor for just a minute. I want three people to volunteer. You can come on up here. Just line up across the front. I want three volunteers to come on up. We're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Just take 10 seconds, 30 seconds. Doesn't have to be long. I'm not asking you to testify. Just come on up. We're going to pray for thanksgiving for our families, thanksgiving for our country, and most of all, thanksgiving for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So I got my volunteers. Wow, look at this bunch. I tell you, you guys are great. Why don't you turn around, face the front, face the people. Alan, okay, which one are you taking? Family, country, or Jesus?
Family.
Family, all right. You got?
I'll take country.
Country. She's a little bit of country over there, and you got Jesus. That's a good fitting thing. All right, so here we go. Let's bow our heads and let's give thanks together as Alan leads us and passes the mic. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
For family. Lord God, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done, all you've given to us. Mm-hmm. And Father God, we thank you for our families.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for blessing us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for family members that have been brought into your family through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for those family members that are not yet in your house. Lord God, we trust and we are grateful that you are drawing them into yourself. Father, we praise you. We honor you.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we just thank you and we praise you for this country, for the freedoms that we experience that so many others don't in other countries around this world. Thank you for the freedom to express our belief in you freely, Lord.
Praise God.
We thank you for our administration that has spoken forth this new administration. So many believers on this cabinet and so many believers that surround our president to remind us that we have that right without censure.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We are so grateful for that
thank
privilege,
you, Jesus.
Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We are thankful to be in a country that was founded on these principles.
Praise God.
Founded on your word.
Thank you, Father God.
And Lord, remind us every day to be thankful that we can speak the gospel, that we can carry it to others freely.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, God, just put it on our hearts every day to touch someone's life around us
thank
for you.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Because we want to show our thankfulness to you
thank
in this
Lord.
Way.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we are very, very grateful, Lord, mm-hmm. for you putting us in this place,
thank
in
you,
this
Jesus.
Time,
yes,
to do your kingdom work.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord, this is it. Time of thanksgiving.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord. We want to thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah. You who knew no sin became sin, that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. You bore our sicknesses. You carried our pains. By your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Though you were rich, yet for our sakes you became poor, that through your poverty we are made rich. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Above all things, the word says we prosper and are in health, are in perfect health, even as your souls prosper. Lord, we thank you. All of this was done through you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our Father, John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that we, whoever believes on Him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that you were the vehicle that God did what He wanted to do. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you that you accept our praise, that you accept our thanksgiving. Hallelujah. That you sit at God's right hand and make intercession for us. Praise you for what you do, Lord, for what you did and what you continue to do. Honor and praise to you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. We could do that all day, couldn't we? So much to be grateful for. I want to encourage you, have a blessed week with your family, and don't stress at all about taking a day off. Just enjoy it. And just say within yourself, I'm laying out a runway. By taking this day to celebrate Thanksgiving, I'm preparing a runway. I'm setting out them little orange cones or the flares if it was a night landing. I'm laying out the runway for more of God's blessing with my grateful heart. Amen. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful day in Jesus. We'll see you soon. Oh, no Wednesday night service this Wednesday, okay? Because I figure ladies need some extra cooking time. So no Wednesday night service this week. We'll see you next Sunday.